Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings, the home of the 2019 Bucks Uncensored Draft Party at the South Tampa location, April 25th and 26th. They're also the home of my favorite wings, the traditional lemon pepper wings. No matter what style you like, boneless or traditional, or any of their outstanding sauces and dry rubs, Buffalo Wild Wings is the place to go for any sporting event, including Lightning hockey, as we launch into the second half of the season for the NHL, and you know it's going to be rocking all offseason for the NFL leading up to the NFL draft. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. If you are in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, stop what you're doing and get your ass over to Mastro Subaru. A huge selection of pre-owned vehicles, and of course, they're all new Subarus, fresh off the truck and ready for you to come and test drive. Listen, there is no dealership out there that is giving you a discount for being a fan. And that's what you get. You go to Mastro Subaru, tell them you're a member of the Bucks Mob, and you get money off your car. I've never heard of something like this. Mastro Subaru with two locations, one in Orlando, the other right here in Tampa off of Hillsborough Avenue near the Veterans Expressway. Mastro Subaru, and check them out online, their entire inventory at MastroSubaru.com.
I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, if you don't leave me alone, you're gonna have to send me home, 'cause I'm about to whip somebody's ass.
I'm not about building, I'm about reloading.
Bucks Uncensored! Bucks Uncensored!
As far as goals go, we have one. Putting a fucking ring on our finger.
He said, "Coach, how's it feel to be the coolest coach in the NFL?" I said, "Just being me."
Another edition of Trisman with the Commish. Take advantage of these long car rides, sitting here in silence, thinking about the Bucks, thinking about this time of year. Not much happening. But I'll tell you, come next week, come combine time. See, everyone's so focused on the prospects, but to get all of those NFL people in one place at one time, it's a lot more and not only front office personnel and coaches, but former players, former coaches, former GMs, and of course, agents. They're all going to talk. You're going to talk about the upcoming free agency, and you're going to talk about trades. That is where we will focus today. I told you about my eye the other day. Quick update. If you've never gotten your eyelid split in two and then stitched back together, awesome time, especially when they inject numbing agents directly into your eyelid. And now I'm realizing that after the fact, it constantly feels like you've got about 10 eyelashes just floating around in your eyeball all day, every day. So just a quick update as to how ornery and frustrated I am all the time now. I digress. Combine, next week. A lot of people have been asking me, why haven't the Buccaneers released the players? They've only released Benny Curry to this point. To this point of me recording this podcast. But I'll say this. What's the hurry? What is the hurry? You don't have to be like the Atlanta Falcons. You don't have to jump the gun and try and get rid of players. For what? You don't have to be under the cap until we're closer to the start of the new year, which is the middle of March. So I think it's smart to not just cut ties with guys. I think Jason Light had a good understanding of it. Probably Vinnie Curry wasn't going to get them much in return. And that probably other teams didn't view him as a $7 or $8 million player. And so you cut ties with that guy. But in terms of a DeSean Jackson, a Gerald McCoy, and maybe some other players, you should go into the combine with the hopes of trying to make a deal. Nobody thought Jason Pierre-Paul was going to get moved last year during the combine, and that's when the talks happened. Same thing with Robert Quinn going from the Rams to the Dolphins, with Marcus Peters going from the Chiefs to the Rams, and whatnot. A lot of these trades happen at the combine. So I fully anticipate Jason Light doing the same thing. Now, where are they going to ship a guy like DeSean Jackson? Well, DeSean Jackson's probably going to have to go to a team that is on the cusp and needing a deep threat at wide receiver. I think you look at the Dallas Cowboys. I think you look at, I have no problem if he wants to go to the Rams and the Rams are willing to pay decent price to get him, they could use a deep threat wide receiver to go with Brandon Cooks. Make that offense even more dynamic. Not sure if they can afford him. I think you look to the Eagles. I think you could look at the Bears. I think there are several teams that could use a speed receiver. The question is, who is willing to put up with DeSean Jackson? And what are they willing to give up for? It's easy to say, I'd just take anything for DeSean Jackson. Easier said than done. But you've also, it's simple negotiation. You got to show you're willing to keep him. Same thing with Gerald McCoy. I don't know what has been going on behind the scenes. I don't know if they've been talking to Gerald McCoy about restructuring his contract and trying to keep him with the team. But again, whether they have or have not, it would behoove Jason Light and Bruce Arians to see what kind of value he has out there. Not only in terms of what you can trade for him, but do other teams value him the way you do? Is he worth $13 million? Is he worth $10 million? Is he worth $7 million a year at this point in his career? You'll tell, or you can tell, by probably the teams and what they're willing to give up. But I think Jason Light goes in probably looking for a third-round pick. If he can get a third-round pick in return for a 30-plus-year-old defensive lineman, probably a decent move. They traded a third-round pick and got Jason Pierre-Paul last year, and he was younger than Gerald McCoy was. And again, for those people that think Gerald McCoy has to retire a Buccaneer, and how could they even think about getting rid of such a great player? The Giants traded Jason Pierre-Paul to the Bucs last year for a third-round pick. It happens. It happens. And for those of you that are very sentimental about that, Gerald McCoy can always sign that illustrious one-day deal and retire a Buck if he so chooses to later on in his career. Now, who else could the Buccaneers be shopping out there? I don't know if they have a whole lot of players that they can dangle that other teams even want. When you look at a Golston, a Bo Allen, a Mitch Unrein, I don't think any of those get Noah Spence. You're not going to get anything for him. Quan Alexander's a free agent. Levante David, are they going to listen to offers for Levante David? They might. Again, you get up there 29, 30 years old, you're going to listen to it. I'd like to keep Levante David. I don't just want to get rid of older players. I think Levante David adds something a bit more in terms of intensity, in terms of leadership, in terms of overall, I think, impact especially in this style of defense, which is an attacking style of defense, I think Levante David would actually fit really well as a middle linebacker in this new 3-4 defense. So, listen, I always listen to offers. I've never understood people that make a story over, hey, the Bucs are listening to offers for so-and-so. I'd listen to offers for Jameis Winston, Mike Evans. I'd listen to offers for fucking Vita Vea, Quan Alexander, if he was under contract. I'd listen to offers for everyone. That doesn't mean I'm taking the offer, but I'm going to, of course, listen. That would be asinine if I didn't. But anyway, I think when you look at overall, Joe McCoy, DeSean Jackson, and I'm even going to throw out Cameron Brait as a name who could be dangled out there as a potential trade piece. You know, you look to Cameron Brait, maybe to the Dallas Cowboys, the New England Patriots, or a team like that. Trade Brait, maybe get a third-round pick in return. Not only that, a salary cap number around $7 million. Not sure what the dead money looks like off the top of my head. But you look at Cameron Brait, Gerald McCoy, DeSean Jackson. I'm probably actively shopping DeSean Jackson and Gerald McCoy, and at least listening on Cameron Brait. Yeah, there's two sides to look at it for Cameron Brait. Bruce Arians does not have fullbacks on his roster. He doesn't believe in fullbacks. At least that's from what I've listened to and watched of Arians in the past. So if that's the case, he's likely to have more tight ends on his roster. But he doesn't use tight ends all that much in the pass game. And he's already got a threat at tight end in O.J. Howard. There is a legit chance that Bruce Arians looks at more balanced type tight ends that might contribute as much in blocking as they do in the pass game, not looking for tight ends to light the world on fire. I think he uses his wide receivers to do that and his running backs. So with that being said, Cameron Brait, who is a very good receiving tight end, might not be in the cards for this team with this coach and this style of offense, since they've already got a guy who can stretch the field in O.J. Howard. And if Bruce Arians doesn't feel they need to allot $7 million in a backup tight end, even though the balance between him and O.J. Howard makes it to be pretty even since Howard's on his rookie contract. But if they feel, if Bruce Arians feels they don't need a second tight end at $7 million a year, they could easily get rid of and trade Cameron Brait. There will be teams out there that want him. Trade him, get something in return. Get that $7 million, maybe $5 million of it, because you invest $2 million into another tight end that takes the spot of Cameron Brait. And now you got an extra $5 million you can spend on another position. So a lot of options, a lot of ways to go about things at the combine. But I think trades next week are going to be key. And while I'm talking about players the Bucs could trade away, I'm not going to give you players that they could trade for. But it would not surprise me if they're looking for a veteran corner. I think there are enough veteran safeties in free agency that they won't need to try and trade for a veteran safety, especially when you have the likes of a Tyrann Mathieu, who has experience with Todd Bowles and Bruce Arians, or even an Earl Thomas who's out there. You know, they don't need to make that investment in safety as much as I think a veteran corner to help teach these young corners would be a very valuable asset to this team moving forward. I think a veteran linebacker, if they look to trade for a veteran linebacker that has experience in a 3-4 type defense, I think that could be a possibility. Possibility along the offensive line at guard or right tackle. And running back, I think, is always, you know, something that we continue to harp on, but for the right reasons. Peyton Barber is a guy who you want on your roster, not a guy you want as your feature back. Rojo, Ronald Jones, we don't know what he brings to the table. And I'm not sure that Bruce Arians wants to roll the dice on a rookie running back coming off his rookie season to where he did zero. And that's not Bruce Arians' fault. You know, it kind of falls on, no, it does. It falls on Dirk Cutter. But, and I'm not, it's hard for me to blame Ronald Jones when he was hitting the backfield every single play. But with that being said, I can't rely on him. I know my limitations with Peyton Barber. I know the offenses that Bruce Arians has run in the past. I'd be shocked if he didn't go out and get another running back. Now, there are going to be running backs in free agency. I don't think Mark Ingram is the type of running back he's looking for, but a Tevin Coleman out of Atlanta might be. But if they look at this stable of running backs that's going to be available in free agency, and none of them really blow them away, and they don't feel they should draft a running back with the fifth overall pick, and are hesitant to invest another high second-round pick in another running back, they could very well do so third or fourth round. But if there's a running back out there that is being dangled in trade, and listen, a lot of these players, we didn't know Robert Quinn was going to be traded last year. We didn't know that Jason Pierre-Paul was going to be traded last year. Nobody thought Marcus Peters was going to be traded. So it's hard for us to guess. You know, I could throw out and say, yeah, you know, he's trying to get David Johnson over from Arizona. Yeah, I mean, that's an easy assumption. He coached him. He drafted him. But just because you want him doesn't mean that the Cardinals are just willing to give him away either. And maybe the Cardinals don't have any interest in trading David Johnson. So start thinking about some of those players. But I think running back, linebacker, edge rusher, 3-4, to start thinking 3-4 now. We have been so accustomed in this area to the Tampa 2 and a 4-3 defense that we think nose tackle, under tackle, two defensive ends, two outside linebackers, weak side outside linebacker, strong side outside linebacker, and a mic. No, that's not the case anymore. You've got a nose tackle. You've got two defensive ends. Most likely, you know, what you're looking for is taller defensive ends that have some strength, can hold up at the point of attack. Yeah, it's going to be a one-gap, aggressive-style 3-4 defense. But you're looking, typically you're looking for players that are about 6'4", 6'5", actually anywhere from 6'3 to 6'6". Maybe a little taller, you know, if you're Eric Armstead or the other guy they have out there in San Francisco that played for Oregon. I just started hurting again. And then probably between 290 and 315, I would say. So if you're looking at that, okay, so those are your defensive ends now. Then you have two outside linebackers that are those hybrid-type players. Bigger linebackers, smaller defensive ends. They're your pass rush specialists. So are they going – so do you have those players on the roster? Is that Jason Pierre-Paul? Is that Carl Nassib? Are those the players that you want rushing the end? Are they going to look at a Josh Allen in the draft? Are they going to look at some of these other hybrid-type players in the draft? Could they look to trade for those type of hybrid players? The other thing you start to look at is what teams have transitioned and changed schemes. In particular, the Bucs are changing from a 4-3 to a 3-4. The Jets just lost Todd Bowles. They're changing from a 3-4 to a 4-3. Is that a situation to where maybe you look and try to add Leonard Williams? Or, you know, I'm just throwing these names out there. But I think edge rusher they could look at in a trade. I think they look at maybe middle linebacker, stout middle linebacker with 3-4 experience, veteran corner, and possibly a running back if there's one out there that they feel could be a good fit. So with that being said, I think it's going to be very active at the combine, not just watching the players run their sprints and do the bench press, but you're going to have teams talking to agents, getting an early jump on free agency, and you're going to have teams talking to other teams about potential trades. I'm pumped about the combine next week. See if we can't get Luke Easterling on to give us a breakdown of some of the players we should be watching next week at the combine. I'm excited because the combine is pretty much the launch of the offseason. You have the Senior Bowl, but then you got a month until the combine. Now you get the combine, then you're about a week and a half, 2 weeks away from free agency, and then all hell breaks loose. We get right into draft season and the NFL draft. I'm pumped up. This is the offseason. We turned this Buccaneer team into a winner. We've got a winning coaching staff. Now we got to get a winning roster. Let's get this team winning on the field, and let's collide with this strong fan base we are building together. I can feel it. And if you don't want to get excited, if you're too hesitant, that's on you. But I'm fired up because I feel this is the beginning of something special for this franchise. We'll hear from you. Your Buck Steaks, they're coming up next. This is Bucks Uncensored.
Bucks Uncensored.
Bucks takes, then we will get ready for the combine next week. Hope you enjoyed that. I'm back in my home studios, the Commish Studios of Bucks Uncensored. That's right, I got my own studio, my own house. How about that? Heading to Arkansas for the next 2 days. Never been to Arkansas. Not really sure what to expect, but going to show up for some business meetings with a big old black eye and a stitched up eyelid. Try and sell some stuff. I think I can do it. I really, really do. So that's where I'll be the rest of the week, and then I'll be fired up and ready for the combine just like each and every one of you. And listen, we're going to be focused. Luke and I have talked. He's going to be traveling up to Seattle early next week before getting back and ready for the combine. So, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to connect face-to-face. But Luke is going to put together a couple of longer Bucks takes, talking about offensive and defensive players in the combine to keep an eye on. We'll have that. We'll talk more about maybe some of the free agent agents that might be spoken to, and who knows, maybe more trade talk as well. But like I said, a lot of players were discussed and traded during the combine last year. We could see even more of that this year. And if that's the case, Bruce Arians, Jason Light could be very active next week at the combine. I'm excited. Are you? A couple of Bucks takes. Let's get to them. We'll start in South Florida. My buddy T. What up, T?
Yo, Justin. T in South Florida. Yeah, bro. That was very graphic about your eye. That really sucks. I'm glad you're doing better, but you can't play with shit like that, bro. Come on. Anyway, I see the Bucks just signed Andre Ellington. I'm familiar with him. He's a good, like, third down back. You know, they're covering their bases. And I know you were saying something about the going to have a lot of trades, maybe, during the combine. But I just feel like it's some dead weight to lose that losing mentality. You might have to get rid of some folks. And if it's all about saving money and getting the guys in that they want, let's do that. I was just going to keep it short and simple because I haven't spoken in a while. But shout out to all our sponsors. And as always, go Bucks.
With you, T. Yeah, I thought it was, I found it quite amusing and humorous, the overreaction, positive and negative, to the Bucks signing one player, Andre Ellington, a running back who dealt with a lot of injuries while with the Cardinals, and he's got to be pretty old off the top of my head. I don't have the exact number. Listen, he's an upgrade over Jacquizz Rodgers, but I saw a couple of people like, finally, the Bucks are doing something. Nothing's happening. Zero. The combine's next week. Then free agency starts. And he talks of trades. Nothing becomes official until the start of the new year, which is middle of March. Calm your tits. Shit. And who gives a flying fuck if Bruce Arians goes and brings a bunch of guys that he knew from the Cardinals. Mike Iupati, you know, if they go after Patrick Peterson or Tyrann Mathieu, here comes Andre Ellington. I don't care. He was successful. He was successful. And you know what? I'm not opposed to bringing in veterans who know your style when your style has worked in multiple places. No, Andre Ellington is not the savior. No, Andre Ellington is not the feature back. But he can be a contributor on special teams. He knows the offense. Really? Is it that bad a move? I don't think so. And by the way, that doesn't mean that they're done at running back either. Oh, man. The overreaction, positive and negative, to the same player. That kept me entertained. Alexander always keeps me entertained, don't you, Alexander?
Yo, Justin. Yo, Bucks Mob. Alexander from Brazil here. Oh, Justin, I just here and saw the pictures of your eye, and oh, man. I almost couldn't listen to the story you were telling because it was painful to hear, so I hope you're better now. About the free agents we have, I don't remember which player, if it was a defensive end or a defensive tackle from the Panthers, that it was believed that the Bucks were spotting and trying to visited one Buck place at the time, and he decided to stay with the Panthers for a lower salary because he believed in them. So this do happen, okay? So with that in mind, I think if it's what the Bucks and BA wants, it's possible for them to sell the idea that we are turning the corner, that we will be a good football team, we will be a playoff team, and maybe if they want it, they can work it out to Adam Humphries, not to get the $10 million he wants, maybe a little less, Quan Alexander's and GMC's and whatever. I'm really pumped for this season again, and as I'm a Brazilian guy, I do not know a lot about the draft, so I don't have any particular player that I want or particularly university I want to draft. But I was wondering.
Great question, Justin.
I'm tweeting it out.
I don't understand Polish.
But the sweating continued.
Thanks, Jason.
I love being with you and answering all your tough questions.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great question.
He's going to be still the tallest of an offense that has big, big height on it. Crushed it!
Do you have any listeners from Argentina? Because I'm gonna go there in 10 days from today. So today being February 18th. So maybe any Bucks member in Buenos Aires wants to talk about Bucks. And if you're new to this podcast, welcome to the fucking family.
Alexander, I do not off the top of my head know of any Bucks Mob members in Argentina, but I tell you what, we are international on this podcast and with the mob. Buenos Aires, Argentina, Argentina. I'm looking for all my Argentinian Bucks fans, members of the Bucks Mob. Alexander's making his way from Brazil all the way to Buenos Aires. So who is going to step up and welcome him with open arms? Is Alexander becoming our most active international member of this podcast? Wow. Clearly a shot at Javier. Haven't really heard from Dave in Belfast since Jabril Peppers was selected. Ken in Canada, it's been a while. I know I got a bunch of friends over in London. Where else we got folks? All over. I want to hear from you. International, locally, nationally, doesn't matter. The Bucks mob has no boundaries. Combine next week. Offense, defense, what player are you most excited to see test? It's just part of the process. But who are you anxious to see run, lift, go through drills? Is it a Devin White? Is it a Josh Allen? Is it an Ed Oliver? Is it a second round guy? Is it a late round guy? Who's it? Running back, wide receiver. Give me some names. Give me some names you're keeping an eye on. Maybe it's names that I didn't even think about that I should keep an eye on. We'll share the names on next week's podcast. We are getting closer and closer to the official start of the offseason. Combine, yes, but then that start of the NFL calendar, middle of March. I'm on the edge of my seat every single day waiting to see what this team is going to do and how they are going to move into becoming a competitive team that is back in the playoff hunt year after year after year. Thanks to our sponsors, Buffalo Wild Wings, great place to watch Lightning hockey as they fight for another Stanley Cup this year. Buffalo Wild Wings all across the Bay Area. Our draft party there April 25th and 26th. We'll have a kickoff party to start the season. Buffalo Wild Wings, home of the Bucks mob. Wings, beer, sports. Mastro Subaru gives you a discount on new and pre-owned vehicles just for being a Bucks fan. One location in Orlando, the other right here in Tampa off of Hillsborough Avenue near the Veterans. Mastro Subaru, check them out at mastrosubaru.com. Headlines Barbershop, Christian, and his Tomb 45 products. If you are fed up with your barber, if you need to look good for once in your life, download the Headlines Barbershop app. Search for the location nearest you. Might be the brand new location that's going up in Brandon. I don't know. And you can make an appointment. I urge you to make an appointment. If you could do the walk-in, but you know how popular Headlines Barbershops are across the Bay Area. Love you, Christian. Love Headlines. Love each and every one of you. Man, I was taking a look at just to kind of see. Dull part of the offseason, dull part of the year, not much going on. Kind of like June, kind of the barren desert. Man, thank you. Thank you. Thousands of people listening to every single episode. You know, this is a community. This is a family. We are the Bucks mob. We defend each other. We rally around each other. And we attack our opponents. Okay, we are stronger together in numbers. Remember that for the rest of time. We are stronger together in numbers. It's not about one or two people doing their own thing. It's about all of us collectively rooting our Bucks on to victory and not taking shit from other people, from other fans. That's what I love. Many of you have been with this podcast from the beginning. Thank you. Some of you have jumped on board as we've gone, and some of you, brand new. If you are brand new, like I just said, this is a family. We are the Bucks mob. So welcome to the fucking family. Nailed it.
Bucks.